Continuing yesterday's very popular conversation about cancel culture, we talked yesterday about Shemitah and the idea of helping other people with the mindset that we are not the owners on our own money. We are canceling ourselves out of the picture. And it's all about understanding that we are like the bankers, the ones Hashem has entrusted to give out loans to help other people. And that is the idea of Shemitas Kisafim. The Torah continues with the mitzvah of tzedakah, which the Sefer HaChinuch counts in this week's Parsha, mitzvah 479. Mitzvah of tzedakah is described as by the pasuk as follows: Pasoach tiftach es yad chalo, you shall surely open up your hand to help someone else. V'havei tavitanu, and if he doesn't want to take a loan, doesn't want to take charity, give him a loan. Dei machsoro, the amount that he is lacking. Asher yachsar lo, that which he is lacking. We'll discuss those words in just a few minutes. Sefer HaChinuch explains it's very important for a person not only to give charity, but to give charity with a smile, to give charity happily. Person gives tzedakah, but makes it seem like he's begrudging about it. You're stealing my money. Again, it's aside from the fact you're making a person feel awful, that you're truly breaking someone down who already feels like a loser, maybe. A person who already feels despondent, depressed, to make him feel like a loser even more, you're defeating the whole purpose of tzedakah if you don't give it to him with a smile. Aside from that, you're also missing the point. You're showing you think it's your money, and you're begrudgingly giving up out of your own pocket, when really, the money is belonging to Hashem. Sefer HaChinuch then discusses a very, very interesting topic, and that is the topic of giving charity to people who are rich. Have you heard of this? Giving charity to people who have clothing, who have food. Why would a person give tzedakah to someone who's rich? Why would a person who's rich need tzedakah? So it could be, he explains, a person is rich because he has a lot of assets, but doesn't have a lot of liquidated cash, and maybe he needs access to make a deal, to make an investment. You can help him out. That's called tzedakah too. Could be a person's wealthy, but he's new in town. He doesn't have any business contacts. He doesn't know where to go. He's lost. You can give him tzedakah, helping point him in the right direction in a new environment. But then he discusses what I want to focus on for the next few minutes, a very shocking idea, what it means to give tzedakah to the wealthy. It's really based on what Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Samuch Zayin. The pasuk we mentioned before ends off, Dei machsoro, the amount that he's lacking. So Chazal learned from that pasuk, you have no obligation to make the person rich. The person asks you for tzedakah, and he comes over to you. You have to give him enough to survive, just his basic needs, but not more. But then, the pasuk concludes, Asher yachsar lo, whatever he's lacking. And Rashi quotes in the Gemara, the same Gemara, that says, if he's used to having a limousine, you have to give him a limousine. He's used to having a horse, now he doesn't have a horse anymore, you have to get him a horse. Servants, you have to get him a servant. How do those two things go together? You just said, don't make him wealthy, just give him what he needs, nothing more. But then you said, if he's used to having the fancy limousine, now he doesn't have it anymore, you have to give him the limousine, that's what he's lacking. Which one is it? Do you have to give him bare necessities, or do you have to give him a limousine? And the explanation is actually very astounding, a very, very empowering idea of what it means to truly be wealthy. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, in his book, Pathways of the Prophet, discusses this idea, this Rashi, this idea of what it means to help a person, what he's lacking, and even sometimes it means a limousine. The idea is, a person is lacking basic necessities. That term is actually quite fluid. It's based on whatever a person feels. What are their expectations? What are they used to? Basic necessities for one person may actually be something not even close for someone else. And what may appear like a luxury to one person may actually be a requirement if someone else is used to it. A person grows up with certain luxuries. Let's say a car. So the idea of having a car is a requirement. A car. How do you get around in Long Island without a car? You have to have a car. Two cars. You have to have two cars. You don't have two cars, it's poor. You have to go on vacation. You don't go on vacation, you're not going to be able to make it. Your mental health is going to suffer. You have to go on vacation. It's a requirement. You have to go on vacation. How about a microwave? Is a microwave a requirement? Could you imagine? Two microwaves. Leishik, milchik. Hey, a power of microwave. Three, a Pesach microwave. So what would you say? Is it a requirement? We would all say, yeah. If your microwave was broken and you didn't have one, you'd feel like you were lacking something basic. I know certain people, certain rebbeim of mine from a different generation, who when they got married, they didn't have a microwave. When they were invented, they said, we don't want one. We've been functioning and fine without it until now, zapping our food in 35 seconds. So why should we get it now? Why should we up our standards? The Torah is teaching us a person has the ability to set their own standards. Where you grow up, where you live, the people around you, the groups you hang out with, where you choose to go on vacation, we have the ability to set our expectations. And most of the suffering in life that we have to experience is because of expectations. whether it's slow Wi-Fi or traffic, it's because we expect those things to go smoothly. And when they don't, we get frustrated, even if it's the same traffic every single day, even if it's the same Wi-Fi every single day. But if we expect it to go well, then we get frustrated and we say, I feel like I'm lacking. I feel like I'm missing out. I'm so frustrated. What if we just change our perspective and say, this is how long it takes to get to work. I'm not going to be surprised and angry every single day. What if we say, that's how the network works. I can upgrade it or I can get used to it. The idea of giving tzedakah to a person based on their needs teaches us a person can actually feel poor even if he has a lot more than someone else. We discussed this in the Sefer HaChinuch Shir, in the Rav Dessler Shir a few weeks ago. The idea that wealth is not a number. Wealth is a mindset. The idea of wealth means a person has more than they need. And poverty means a person has less than they need. And you know what? We can't always control what we have. But we have some measure of control over how much we need. We can choose to adjust our expectations. For the youngsters in the room, who you marry determines what you're going to need. Where you choose to live is going to determine what you're going to need. If you marry someone high maintenance, you marry someone and live in a community that's very high affluence, has certain standards of 6 cars, you're going to feel lacking. We only have 5.5 cars. I don't know what the half a car are doing. But whatever. The idea is whatever you think you need, you're going to feel lacking without it. The idea of tzedakah to the rich, number one, is an obligation for us to know we can help anybody out. Even if someone seems like they have everything, there's always an opportunity to help everybody. But the second takeaway is to recognize who is truly rich, who is truly poor. It's up to us. It's empowering for us to realize we can always adjust our expectations, what things we feel like we need, and in that way always feel rich.